October 18th, 2015. This is the Montreal Bias. This week on the Bias, how about them Habs 6-0-0 to start the season? That's a franchise record, as if those could still be broken. Thomas Plekanec signs a two-year deal, the biggest surprise Canadiens hot start. Carey Price, better than last year? Anything wrong with this team? We'll also talk about the Boston Bruins, who have looked great to start the season. First head coach to lose their job. What the top five scorers are going to look like on this squad? We'll also talk about the West and the East. Are the playoff standings already beginning to form? And what'd you think of the home opening ceremony? I thought it was meh. We'll get into that. This is the Montreal Bias. Welcome to the Montreal Bias, Zach Vanas, along with you here. As mentioned off the top, recording this one on Sunday, October 18th. What a start to this season. Can't wait to get into it all on this week's episode of the Montreal Bias, official podcast of Rabid Habs Magazine. Get the dirty work done early here. Ask that you subscribe on iTunes if you haven't subscribed already. Rate us. Always good for us. We appreciate anyone giving a rating or a comment on iTunes. You can also, of course, listen at themontrealbias.com. You can find the link to that on rabbithabs.com. And in other related Rabid Habs magazine news, a migration of sorts on the Facebook page. So if you want to continue to be getting that Facebook feed of all the great articles that are going up on rabbithabs.com through your Facebook, we got a new page, Rabid Habs Magazine, your source for everything Canadians. You will find a link on the Facebook page, or you can search it on Facebook. Give that a like. That'll keep you up on everything, including this podcast. Now that business is out of the way. Yes. Today we'll be sampling some of Amsterdam Brewery's Bone Shaker Unfiltered India Pale Ale. That's the IPA. By sampling, I mean I'll have the whole can, and this is far from the first time. Once again, the beer we're drinking, not an official sponsor in any way. I had to pay for this like the rest of you. But if anyone's interested in sponsoring, I will drink nearly anything and say I enjoy it if you want to give it to me for free. Except like Bud Light Apple. I will not agree to drink that shit even if it's free. It's just how I feel. Have I introduced myself? How rude of me. Zach Vanas, along with you here. Once again, solo on the podcast, and Sean O'Neill will not be making an appearance in any shape or form on this week's podcast, unfortunately. I know, I hear you. But considering the election is but a day away as I record this, Sean will soon no longer be completely used up in his quest to, he works for democracy, as I'd like to tell people. He will be returning as a reg co-host very, very soon on the Montreal Bias. So this experiment of me running solo on a weekly basis will soon come to an end. I know that many of you are very happy with that news. I'm very happy with that news. It'll be nice to no longer be asking myself questions. So how did we get to now? Let's take a look. Six games, as we did not do a Thanksgiving weekend podcast. Sorry about that, but we're glad that we're back in here. How do we get to now? 6-0-0 to start the regular season. First time in the Canadiens' illustrious history that they've managed to pull that off, which I think is fairly shocking. Of all the great teams they had, none went 6-0 to start a season. It's great, but it's not that remarkable, is it? Anyway. Which is, you know, as I think I tweeted or even mentioned on the podcast the other day, I'm surprised any time that the Canadiens do something they've never done in their history. This is a nice start, obviously. So that franchise record actually came in the fifth straight win. The six just adds to it. Kicked off the season 3-1 in Toronto. I think we can all agree that one was maybe the weakest performance by the Canadiens so far this campaign. Then a 4-2 win in Boston. That one looked convincing. 3-1 at Ottawa. Mike Condon's first career start slash win. He looked good there. 3-2 win over Pittsburgh. And it was 3-0 over the Rangers in an absolute goalie duel between the best goalie in the world and one of the other good goalies. Carey Price being the best, of course. And 4-1. Perhaps the most convincing win of the season for the Canadiens so far. 4-1 on Saturday night over the Red Wings. As I say, that brings them to 6-0-0 to start the season. And brings us to question number one in the 12-pack. Quite simply, how about them Habs? How about them Habs? I'd love to hear what you have to think about these first six games. So as always, this season, we'll be tweeting out the 12-pack questions. Love to hear your answers to them. I don't know if how about them Habs is a question. It's more like a statement. Here, let's break it down. Let's break down the start of this season. They've outscored the competition 20-7 through their first six games. That's a plus 13 goal differential in the first 16 games. Not bad. Not bad. Newly contracted Thomas Plekanec, he's got 5 goals in 6 games. That's a fantastic start for him. Max Pacioretty, no start for the newly minted captain. Also 5 goals in 6 games. Even the power play struck against the Red Wings. 58.2% possession through these first six games. Now, for those of you who still a little bit weary of advanced statistics, look, possession's nothing more than the shots that you're driving at the net, essentially. Just tells you how often you're on the attack, more or less. And it's a great indicator of if things are going well, if it seems sustainable. In this case, that's a yes. Or if things are going poorly, but you're looking at these stats, you say to yourself, okay, just not getting them breaks. But right now the Habs are getting them breaks. And they're also playing really good hockey. Like, how about that third period against the Red Wings? 20-5, I believe the shots were in the third period against the Red Wings. 20-5. The Habs were playing with a lead. In 2014-2015, with a one-goal lead, or was it even? Montreal Canadiens would not have been pouring it on. They would have been sitting back and letting Carey bail their asses out. Now, Carey's been very dominant as well. Huge! Went really high for that, didn't I? But he hasn't had to steal all the games. Canadiens are winning the games, and when they get themselves in a little bit of trouble, because every team's going to, no one's going to play perfect hockey, the other team is going to get its chances, Carey Price is there. Only once so far this season has he even... Twice, I lied. I'm sorry. Twice this season has he allowed the competition to score more than one goal. It happened at Boston, and Pittsburgh was able to do it. But then he promptly shut out the Rangers. Ridiculous start for him. Ridiculous start for everybody. Habs are rolling. It's going to be a boring podcast because there's nothing to gripe about. Or we'll find something. Number two. You could have read some thoughts and opinions from the people at Rabid Habs in the forum this week, as our question before Tomáš Plekanec signed was, what should he sign for? Should he sign? Should they trade him? What to do with Tomáš Plekanec? Well, the Canadiens decided what to do with Tomáš Plekanec. They decided to sign him to a 2-year deal, which I love, at $6 million per, which makes sense. It's a $12 million deal. Actually pays him, I believe, 7 and 5 in each of the years. But what do we care about what check Tomáš Plekanec actually takes home? What we care about is what counts against the cap, and that's $6 million per, and that sounds okay. Especially for just 2 seasons. I know some people probably think, oh, it's a bit steep for Plex. Firstly, might not even be. That's probably market value. No matter how many, even if you sign him for 3 years. 4 years. Could you got 6 times 4 out there on the free agent market? I'm tempted to think he might have. Tempted to think Plex might have been able to find that. He's an underrated player in the league. No, no trade clause. How about that? But he wants to finish his career as a Hab and get that Stanley Cup. I mean, with the announcement that Plex is signing for 2 years after this one, so three more seasons, this one included, the Canadians are basically saying we're looking at our window. And it's the same window that Sean and I discussed earlier this season on the podcast. 3 years is what we're starting to look at as the Iron's going to be most likely at its hottest. Now, there's a lot of great players. It's everyone always overrates their own youth, but I think there's some pretty good players coming up to fill in some of the holes that may be caused over the next few seasons by departures of, say, Thomas Fleischmann, who was on a one-year deal. Who knows where his future holds? I mean, there's a whole season between there. We got Semin. We don't know much about that. So there'll be players being brought into this core between now and 3 years from now when Plex contract ends. But for the most part, we're starting to look at, I think, the team that's going to be competing year in, year out for the next little stretch. I felt that during the opening ceremony. Looking at the guys each being introduced, you're like, yeah, that guy, that's where he belongs. That's where he belongs. It's starting to feel like the real cast, whatever that means. I think this is, you're looking at the team we're going to be making the run with. Minus and plus a couple players. But we know now that most likely, barring a bizarre trade, Thomas Plekanec will be around for that run, which seems right. I mean, this guy's gone through some shitty times with this team. He's been consistently great, really good, a key piece to this team at the very least. And so should the Habs get to that magic place where they're going to win a Stanley Cup in the next few years, I'm glad that Plex is going to be around for it. I got no problems with this contract. He'll be 36 when it expires, so he may have one contract left in him. Or depending on if he's got a Stanley Cup in his back pocket at that point, maybe he'll decide to ride off into the sunset. Or maybe he decides to play forever, like his good buddy Jaromir Jagr. Still scoring. You cannot stop Jagr. Question 3. Biggest surprise to the Canadiens' hot start, besides the hot start, I suppose. 6 in a row, I don't care how high you are on these guys. It's a goddamn great start. I think there's a list of options for what might be the biggest surprise so far. David Desharnais looking pretty fantastic on that third line. Get the guy in against the competition. Could be called, fair even for him? Not trying to play over his head, just playing his game. He looks really good. That's been a great surprise. Especially since when they announced that Galchenyuk would be making the move to center, many of us, myself included, assumed it was Darnay who would be the odd man out and have to find his way on the wing. Speaking of that, how great Lars Eller been on the wing. He looks right at home there, a natural winger. I wasn't sure that he'd necessarily succeed on the wing, but he's looked fantastic. Got the dominance of the fourth line. How great have they been? That night, there's been a few nights where they've looked like the third line. Rolling out there. All little subtle moves by somewhat Michel Therrien, but I would say more so Marc Bergevin, kind of reinforce this team. All four lines just click, 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 click. And I mean, you look at the time on ice, specifically against Detroit, I'm talking about here. Lars Eller led all forwards time on ice against Detroit, which in itself is probably a surprise to some. Lars played 13 minutes, 30 seconds against the Red Wings on Saturday night. 13:30. David Desharnais, he played the least minutes. Oh, kind of shocking as well. Though he may have had a bit of an injury there. David Desharnais played 10 minutes, 2 seconds, and he was the low end of all forwards. So just a 3-minute, 20-second-ish gap between most time and least time by forwards. I mean, it's not unusual to see a forward play 16, 17 minutes on the high end and 6 minutes on the low end, 5 minutes in some cases on this team. And Therrien pointed out, he said, look at the ice time. We're rolling consistent shifts. That's a quote from Therrien after the game. We changed a little bit the philosophy of our team. Yeah, no shit. looks like a completely different squad out. Not completely different. It looks like a team that has now built its confidence, has its coach's confidence that it can play smart defensive hockey, which Terry preached all through last season, to the much to the chagrin of many of us. Didn't love it. And here's a theory that I've had in my back pocket since, I would say, the beginning of people starting to really not enjoy Michel Therrien's brand of hockey. And I haven't brought it up to now because I thought it was going to sound too much like wishful thinking. It was going to sound like I was excusing Michel Therrien in some hopes that he would come around, but not a hope that any of us really had any reason to expect. Well, it seems as though he may have come around. And my theory, last little bit, and you can believe whether or not I'm making this up on the spot just to make myself seem like I know what I'm talking about, but I promise you, I've been thinking it, and I didn't want to say it, because I thought it was going to make me look like I was just too hopeful. But I wondered if, in building the right way, I used finger quotes there, you can't see that, but I did. If in doing that, they first wanted to say, all right, let's get this young team, because they're a young team, one of the youngest in the NHL. Let's see if we can get this young team to first learn to play in their own zone. We got Carey Price. He'll bail us out. We can probably still have success playing defensive hockey. Let's make sure these guys got that down. You saw players like Max Pacioretty leaps and bounds from a guy who's purely a downhill player almost to one of the better defensive forwards in the NHL. Lars Eller playing essentially complete defensive hockey last season, pretty much used in a defensive role exclusively. Suddenly he's got some offensive pop. So this may have been, and I don't even, you know, we still don't know. Maybe we'll never know. But this may have been part of the plan to do this for a season because they're young, teach a certain structure, and then evolve from that structure. Now, that's probably given Therrien a hell of a lot of credit. But it might be what's happening. I don't know. The hell do I know? Your time. Question four. Is Carey Price even better than last season? Yes, right? Well, I say yes a little too convincingly. He's... Right now, if he continued like this, yeah, he would be somehow having a better season than last season. I mean, he looks locked in again. 957 save percentage. That's really good. 1.20 GAA so far. Really good. Also, just some highlight reel saves already. Went toe-to-toe with Lundqvist, and while it was I do one, you do one for a little while, eventually Carey Price won out. Best goal in the NHL, no doubt. And possibly even improving on what he did last season. Combine that with some solid hockey, with a little bit of offensive flair to it for once. Great possession. It's a dangerous recipe. That's how you go 6-0-0. You play that kind of hockey. It's hard to beat. If the Habs keep playing this way, they're going to be very hard to beat. They faced some tests, I think. I think the Rangers were a real test. I know after the Pittsburgh game, and I was tweeting, and I said, and I think I was on the Rabbit Habs account for that one, and I said, you know, if the Habs continue playing like this, we have to finally back off from Michel Therrien, right? And yes, if they continue playing like this, we need to seriously back the fuck off. Therrien is doing a great job if they keep going like this. But to get back to my point, the argument was, well, they hadn't really put up to the Pittsburgh game. They hadn't really played one of the better defenses in the NHL, which fair enough. I mean, Pittsburgh, after all the hype in the offseason with them, defense is highly questionable, as I stated. Starting to sound like Don Cherry on this thing. That's what happens when you talk in an echo chamber, which is what Don Cherry refers to the world as. You start to really want to tell people when you're right. I suspected they didn't have great defense, but who cares? Well, let's move on. New York Rangers, that might be the best blue line in the NHL. One of, if not the best. So, for them to go and beat the Rangers successfully, as they did. I think that's a testament to, yeah, they've even started to survive some of the tougher tests. Question five. Because so high on this team, so positive. Question five is there anything wrong with this team? What do you tweet me that one. I really want to hear that one. Is there anything wrong with this team? What do you see problematically? Power play, sure. Power play could still use work, but started to come around against the Red Wings. Saw a different look, which was nice. Alex Semin, I guess. Yeah, Alex Semin feels like he might be the one weak link so far. Very reluctant to shoot. That much is obvious. But that line's going. I mean, the Galchenyuk or Semin line looks good. It's not as if he's been a drag. And on some nights, he's actively driven possession. So he might not have the goals yet, but he hasn't been bad by any stretch. I don't completely think he's getting buoyed by Galchenyuk and Eller. I think that's just a good line. Those are the two things that you might be able to point at. Outside of that, no, you can't really point at anything. Power play, which I think they could figure out, but we've been saying that for a while. And we'll see what Alex Semin goes from here. Tom Fleischmann, he's been great. He was one of the question marks. He's been fantastic. It's almost like we've already forgotten about Zach Cassian, right? Not really a factor at this point. Question six, shifting to a team that's not doing quite as well. Our hated rivals, Boston Bruins. Question is, are the Bruins cooked? Do they have any hope of rebounding from what's not a terrible start, 2-3? It's not horrible. But it's not great, especially for a team that struggled last year. Especially off the top, but they beat Arizona on Saturday night, 5-3. That's something. Arizona's not great. Pretty young. They might have some potential, but they're not very good right now. The Bruins beat them. I don't know if the Bruins are cooked. Not ready to count them out yet. 2-3. Not quite time. But they got to do something to prove more than just beating Arizona. That doesn't tell you much. And in that same line of questioning, question seven, which head coach will lose their job first? I and many others predicted Claude Julien might be the first one out. I mean, situation just lined up that way. Looked like here was a team that had changed and not for the better. New regime came in, new GM, new everything. He felt like the talk was clicking or the clock was ticking on Claude Julien in Boston. But I think he's been passed now and most likely to go first by Todd Richards, head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets 0-6 and look real bad to start the season. Sergei Bobrovsky, not quite the same goalie he was during his Vezina season. They look great. In fact, they look shitty. They look downright shitty. They look like the worst team in the NHL this season. And Columbus and Detroit were quite divisive in preseason previews. If did a lot of reading or listening, some people were saying very high on Detroit. Some people were very high on Columbus. Detroit's looked pretty good through the first bit. Columbus looked atrocious. So I think Todd Richards is the first one. I mean, what? How many more games can they lose before Todd Richards loses his job? 0-6 and looking shit. Might only have a couple more games in him. You take a big beatdown by one of the weaker teams. I mean, they did. They got beat by the Leafs. That's not good. And I'm just not, just because I want to pile on the Leafs. You don't want to get your ass handed to you by Toronto. They're not a good team. They're not supposed to be a good team. They're not designed to be a good team right now. So Todd Richards may beat out Claude Julien yet. For the first coach to lose his job this year. Question eight. Montreal's top five scorers will be, and in what order? Ooh. All right, tweet me this one. So we're going to be, if you're looking for them on Twitter, hashtag 12-pack. That's 1-2-pack. How to find those. Top five scorers for the Habs, in order. Total points. I'm going to say, once again, Max Pacioretty will lead things. Second, Alex Galchenyuk. Putting him in there. Thomas Plekanec third. Fourth, PK Subban. And fifth, this might be my wild card here, Lars Eller. Oh, I'm buying in on Eller again. Eller's put together six good games, and everyone thinks this might be the season Lars does it. Count me among them. Maybe I'm just a sucker for the Dane. But he looks good so far. He continues at this rate. Top five in points this year. That'd be huge. That'd be a nice leap we've been waiting for. Maybe this is the year. He's getting the minutes. He's getting the zone starts. Plenty of offensive zone starts with that Galchenyuk and Semin line. So I got Eller slotting in there. Well, if Galchenyuk's going to be top five, Lars has got to get some assists in there, right? Or goals from it. Pacioretty, Galchenyuk, Plex, Subban, Eller. That's how I've got it going. I don't think I'm making an argument for Andrei Markov to creep in there anymore. Don't think so. Brendan Gallagher? Maybe. I think you'd make a pretty reasonable argument for him cracking top five. Can't really sell me on Semin doing it, though. Fleischmann, certainly not. I'm happy with that top five. Number nine. We're just 2 weeks into the season. But how much will the Eastern Conference standings change between now and the end of the season? And I bring this up because I was looking at the standings this morning, just out of curiosity. And I thought, Jesus, the East may not change much between now and the end of the season. Listen to this. This is how the Eastern Conference shakes out as of 3 p.m. on Sunday, October 18th. You're probably listening to this on Election Day, October 19th. Well, maybe. If you're real excited about it, you're listening to it on October 19th. So go vote. Or maybe the election's passed and do whatever you did. Here's the standings in the East. As of six games for Montreal, four games for several other teams. Montreal, Tampa Bay, New York Islanders, Ottawa Senators, Washington Capitals, New York Rangers, Florida Panthers, Detroit Red Wings. Those are your eight teams in. Eight in right now. Montreal, Tampa, Islanders, Ottawa, Washington, Rangers, Panthers, Red Wings. Which means out are the Flyers, are the Penguins, are the Bruins, Leafs, Canes, Sabres, Devils, Columbus. I don't see it switching that much. I really don't see the East changing all that much. I expect Pittsburgh will climb out of 10th and into the playoffs. Boston, as I said, maybe could hang in there for a playoff spot this year. But who do you take out? Ottawa, I guess? Florida? But it wouldn't shock me if the eight teams that are in as of October 18th end up being the playoff teams. Really wouldn't surprise me. And I know you're probably thinking, well, it's ridiculous, we're so far out. But once you get into November, these things tend to solidify. A couple of weeks from now, there's not a lot of variance that tends to occur. Which actually brings me right to question 11, because I would expect some variance in the West. The West does not look like the East. The East looks similar to what I would have predicted it was going to finish. Already. The West, though, that's more interesting. Top eight teams in the West right now, so the playoff teams in the West, just a couple weeks into the season, are Winnipeg, Dallas, St. Louis, San Jose, Nashville, Minnesota, Vancouver, Arizona. More interestingly, I think, is who's out, which would be Chicago, Colorado, Los Angeles, Edmonton, Calgary. And in dead last, everyone's Stanley Cup pick, except me, I picked Tampa Bay, and a bunch of other people picked Tampa Bay. Anaheim is in last. So I think there's a lot of shoveling still to come in the West. It would be beyond shocking if the eight teams in there in the West were the eight teams at the end of the season. But I don't think that's the same thing for the East. Now, obviously, there's plenty of time for much to occur. And I don't think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through it will hold out. I don't think that's the standing. I think there's a lot of shuffling to happen between those eight teams in the East. But it wouldn't surprise me to any huge degree if it was those same eight. And I say that knowing Pittsburgh's supposed to be good, but doesn't Pittsburgh also feel like a team that could be a disaster this season? I mean, look, last season they were hanging around the top of the East for much of the season. Then as They rolled post-January. Things really fell apart. They looked like they might fall out of the playoffs entirely. Had the season been any longer, I think they might have fallen out of the playoffs. So, you know, they've added Phil Kessel, but they didn't do much else. That blue line seems to bleed. Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't inspire amazing confidence. Pittsburgh could be a team that we should have seen poised for disaster, but we're a little high on. We'll see. I mean, it's a ton of offensive weapons. The most dangerous offensive weapons in Kessel, Crosby, Malkin, Letang on the blue line, who I think is a great offensive defenseman. I just don't think he's a great defensive defenseman at all. You know, Olimata is great, but it wouldn't shock me if the Penguins end up not making the playoffs. It wouldn't be the most shocking thing. Meanwhile, you know, it'd be very shocking if, let's say, the Blackhawks didn't make the playoffs. Los Angeles? Thought last year was maybe a hiccup, but considering how poorly their offseason went and how they are currently 1-3-0 on the season, maybe this is a bad season in LA. Anaheim at 0-3-1, still winless. They're going to crawl out of the basement. I think that's just a rough start for the Ducks. I think they're a far better team than that. Where are we? Question 11. Let's talk about that home opener ceremony. What'd you think? For me, the music was a little too epic. They could have dialed it down from most epic ever. It's just a bit much for how long it went on. It's a lot of epicness. It's like 10 minutes of end of Gladiator, win the war, whatever you want to throw in there. Epic music. It's a bit too much for my taste. I know a lot of people loved it. I know a lot of people hate when you criticize anything about the opening ceremony, because Montreal does them best. Montreal does do them best, but sometimes they're not as good as other ones they've done. I think overall, meh, by Habs standards this year. And that's the only standard we need to measure it by. Probably still better than most of the ceremonies, but by their own standards, kind of meh. I did love Guy Carboneau. Could just put a period right there and that sentence, but I loved Carboneau handing the torch off to Patches. I thought that was a nice move. The last Habs captain to win the Stanley Cup, handing the torch over to the next one? Maybe. Markov, his usual hilarious self, said tongue-in-cheekly. Markov, I didn't know Markov was the funny one. He came out, pointing at Subban, giving the roundabout. Probably as excited as we all were for the launch of PK Subban's website, pksubban.com. I haven't actually been to check it out yet. My takeaways from that. Yeah, overall, meh. It was good. Like, I enjoyed it. I wasn't sitting there hoping it would finish so the game could get going. Like, I wasn't not enjoying myself, but I didn't find it particularly inspiring either. Nice little marketing piece trying to sell the new jerseys. I noticed they featured the jerseys prominently. I like the laces, by the way. How do you feel about the laces? I am pro laces. Number 12. When will the Habs season opening winning streak come to an end? Let's take a look at quickly. We'll get into the schedule a little bit more in depth after the mini break. But just looking from here on to the end of the month, I'm not convinced any of the teams they're playing between now and the beginning of November are better than the Canadiens. The only one between now and the beginning of November that I think might be better, or could be better, that'd be the Blues. And the Blues are who they face next. They got the Blues on Tuesday night. Other than that, the rest of the teams they face between now and November 1st are the Sabres, the Maple Leafs, the Canucks, the Oilers, and the Flames. I'm very convinced none of those teams are better than the Canadiens. That doesn't mean the Habs will run the table on those five. But I do think the Habs are the better team than those five. And I don't know about the Blues. Canadians might be better than the Blues. Oof, I mean, it's not like it will be all determining who wins on Tuesday night. That's a good test. That's the one, let's say, they could obviously lose any of them. Maple Leafs, for instance. You never know what happens in those weird ones. Oilers were a big time. Actually, the Oilers and Sabres, both clearly weaker teams last season, gave Montreal fits. They could lose any of them. But I think the only team that might be better than them is the Blues. So it won't be a big time decision who's the better, whoever comes out on top on Tuesday night. But let's say this much. If the Canadians look as convincing against the Blues as they did against the Red Wings, whew, yeah. And you can start to get excited. All right. That wraps up the 12-pack. We'll close it up and come back in 1 second. Before we go to the next bit, I think I said a little bit before that Pat Treja's got 5 goals. He's only got 4. Quick correction. Now on to a segment that's always filled with corrections.
One time!
Yeah, except the biggest part of it. Ugh, hey, it's Taryn, everybody. Taryn's back. Yeah. Spread more lies about Angela Price, who she's decided she hates and wants to paint in a negative light, in an inaccurate negative light.
That's not what happened.
Why? The people want to know, why do you have such an aggressive agenda to tear down Angela Price?
I'm sorry, I thought
you know
she had
she's
a neck
knocked
tattoo.
Up.
Is she?
This is what I heard.
That's going to make boring
television. You're in charge of rumors around her. Not really. You're just in charge of hockey-wise and what happens on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm not following these people
well,
outside
you're,
of
you're
that.
You're in charge of rumors around her and that you're in charge of making them up and spreading them with your foul mouth.
This country's so small. Probably will. She will find out about this.
All right, so you've come back.
Yes.
Despite the fact that there's no hockey-wise yet.
No, October 28th. So soon.
The countdown is on.
Yeah. Got it on the chalkboard.
But there's some points that you thought we should know to prepare ourselves further.
Let's see.
Well, before we get to that, what do you think of the Habs this season? 6-0 start. First time in history of the Canadians.
Cool.
All right, then. We'll move on from that.
There's already been 6 games?
Yeah, there's been 6 games. Glad you noticed when I'm not around. Calls that happy time.
Well, I mean, I watch a lot of shows.
All right. Yeah, we know. Which is, and hockey-wise is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get to a topic you kind of wanted to extrapolate on, but I didn't let you a couple weeks back, and that's Marie-Pierre Morin.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Extrapolate further. You want to tell us a bit more about her?
Oh, she seems like... Because how famous is she in Quebec? Because I can't get a handle
She's
on it.
She's Quebec famous.
Yeah, but that means...
I don't
a lot
know.
Of things.
I don't know what that means. I don't really have a great idea.
Like, what does she do?
She's a celebrity. She's on a show.
On a show?
Yeah.
She hosts a show?
No. No. She's on a show.
She's an actress?
No. She's on, like, a think a talk show of sorts.
Is it one of those French things where it's a bunch of people on a table?
Oh, I'm sure she's on those a lot.
And there's a lot of lights, there's, and I never know what's under... Like, yeah. Why are there so many lights?
It's European.
And it's always a light-up floor with, like,
European.
Cubes. That is very European, and I don't get it. Why do they need a light-up floor?
She's on
a
it's a show. I've never seen it, but I don't think it's quite that. I think she does, like, hits on the street or something.
Oh.
And then, but she got her... She was on the Howie Mandel show with the suitcases.
What?
Howie Mandel hosted a show. There were briefcases.
That's all it takes to get famous in Quebec is what you're telling me.
Well, that was, it helped.
Holding a suitcase on Deal or No Deal.
That was the name of the show, yes.
So wait, she was on Deal or No Deal or a French version of Deal or
No
Deal?
No, the Deal or No Deal, I believe.
This is getting more confusing.
I don't know why I'm the one informing you of all of this.
Well, I'm from Quebec, you are.
Your purpose on this show is just, now I'm confused.
Whatever. She has great eyebrows.
Okay.
Top-notch eyebrows.
No, you're... Okay. So what we wanted to do before the show starts is get us into the storylines quickly.
Okay. So I won't bring up the people that aren't going to be on this.
And nice quickly. Not, you know, we don't need to go through the whole history.
But you want Habs-related things anyways.
Whatever you're going to be talking about.
I know that Ray Emery is going to be on this season.
Ooh, interesting. And he's not even barely in the NHL
anymore.
Does
drugs, allegedly?
Allegedly. He
allegedly.
Had, He had the toots.
What? Oh, I'm not cool. I don't know drug slang.
Cocaine's not cool.
That is also true.
Public service announcement.
That's true. But I never heard that before.
I may have made it up.
I just found out I Can't Feel My Face is about cocaine.
Oh, thank you.
Like just like 2 days ago, I found that out. No idea. I thought I was just really catchy.
Continue to not know what you're doing on this show.
No idea. Yeah, so that'll be, he's dating Kesha Shante.
Like, oh, interesting. The Canadian
pop star.
Yeah. I remember her. What was her hit?
Ooh, I don't know.
That's all right.
I know she hosted 106 in Park. That's a big deal.
She did?
Yep.
So she was legit in the States.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like her, Drake, and The Weeknd.
Wait, she's still a thing?
The only Canadians the Americans know. I think she's trying to be a thing still.
Well, we're all trying to be a thing.
I think she's continuing.
Okay.
So I think that's what this show is about, is getting her, like, she's still pretty young, so I mean, she can come back. I
haven't kept track.
If Janet Jackson can come back, she can come back.
Okay.
I mean, she's no Janet Jackson.
Will Ray Emery be featured?
Yeah.
Will they talk about his time in Russia and the KHL?
I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
I know it's That's a little bit like in the trailer it seemed like it's a lot about him being a free agent.
Mm.
And did I use that right?
Yeah, you did.
Look at me. And the uncertainty of that and all that stuff. Because that's like the interesting part is they do go into how hockey's not super glamorous a lot of the time.
Right.
How sucky it is when you just get like literally sold to another team and then have to like move in the middle of the night and stuff.
All right.
So it's pretty realistic. Ish, I think.
When is W gonna start sponsoring our podcast for giving them more coverage than anyone else?
I know, right? Yeah. We should get on this.
Sure, go for it.
Get some.
Anything else you wanted to add before we've updated us on? No, that's old.
Everyone's nice, but kind of like they're like an unhappy couple that you're like, oh, you both could do better. Just why are you doing this?
I tell all couples that.
You do. That's all I guess that's all I got.
All right. How many more sleeps until the big day? October 28th.
10 sleeps.
Oh, all right.
I know. Your audience is probably super excited about this.
Feeling this one out. And from that bit, two more bits. What do we got coming up on the schedule between now and our next cast of cast? We got Tuesday night, as I was just talking about a little bit earlier. Tuesday night, October 20th. The St. Louis Blues will be at the Bell Center. That's got a 7:30 puck drop on it. Friday, so no game Thursday night. 3-day break here. Friday, October 23rd at Buffalo. 7 p.m. start to that one. I should go to that one. I could get to Buffalo by 7. And Saturday, so back-to-back here's on this weekend. Saturday, Toronto will be at the Bell Center for a 7 p.m. start. That's what they got ahead. And as I just talked about, St. Louis, the team, obviously the most interesting matchup for this week. You know that, I mean, the Canadians should certainly, by season's end, finish ahead of Buffalo and Toronto. I mean, they've already got pretty much a 10-point window on those guys. I mean, anything, just anything can happen, but they're better than that. I'd like to see them beat both Buffalo and Toronto, and we'll see what they do against St. Louis. I'm predicting they go 2-1 this week. And any grab bag there, 2-1 against those teams, just because at some point they have to lose, right? Shifts us into a BFP, the bold fucking prediction. I'll go to that Tuesday night game to get bold. Larsen Eller finally haunts the St. Louis Blues, the team with which he began his NHL career. He has a 3-point game on Tuesday night. Oh, how bold is that? It's not extreme. It's a little bold. 3 points from Lars. Not like we've seen a ton of those from him. Marchand of the week? Nah. I don't have one this week. 2 weeks of undefeated stellar hockey. It's a goddamn love in on this podcast. I'm not gonna throw in a Marchand of the week. No need. There'll probably be plenty of opportunity for that from here on out. This week we go Marchandless. But a hot take. Time for a hot take. My column this week, if I had to put a ridiculous storyline. Emergency column. Let's go with this. The Canadians play to start the season been so successful because they finally have a captain. There's a completely unprovable storyline that one of your hacks could throw out there. Yeah, finally with that leadership, they know who to look to. There's a confidence now. The torch has been handed from Guy to Max. This team is ready because they've named a captain. And finally, as I promised, my highlight of my week will be Carey Price lowering the boom on Chris Kreider. You see that? Boop! Pretended after in the scrum that he didn't know who it was. As if any part of the game Carey Price is not aware of. Even his wife was enjoying it. The non-neck tattooed Angela Price. Non-neck tattooed, but possibly preggers? Is that a rumor or is that just fact now? I wasn't paying enough attention. Maybe pregnant. She tweeted out on whatever day after the game, I think. She could watch it all day. Had the gif of Carey, boom, Lady Kreider, and then just standing over him for a minute. For those, for some reason, don't remember Chris Kreider, he's the one who fell into, quite accidentally, man of many accidents. Kreider crashed into Carey Price in the Eastern Conference Final a couple seasons back, forcing Dustin Tokarski in the starter role, and quite possibly killing the Canadiens' chances of going to the Stanley Cup Final that year. Now, they might not have made it with Carey, but certainly hurts your odds, especially when you consider how good Carey Price has been at home against the Rangers. Unstoppable against the Rangers at the Bell Center. So a little bit of revenge from Carey there, even though he had no idea it was Kreider. He didn't know. How is he supposed to know? Runner-up, though. Well, the Plekanec signing, that's a nice runner-up on the highlight of the week. Also think there's been some comments that I've quite enjoyed that suggest the Canadians have a little chip on their shoulder this year, which is always good. The no-one-believed-in-us team always seems to find some success. And Plek saying he felt they're more than just a Carey Price team. Getting sick of that old narrative, the Habs are nothing without CP. So he bitched about that to the media, kind of openly for the first time. And then Carey Price in the on-ice after-the-game interview said they felt like they weren't quite getting the respect they deserve. Thought they were a pretty good team. And maybe it was time the world realized that. They've had confidence, but I don't know the rest of the world has. So those comments have been followed up, or led by, really great play on the ice. Point I'm trying to make here as I sign off is your Montreal Canadiens are a pretty damn good team. Quite possibly. At least through the first 2 weeks, I would say undeniably, the best team in the NHL. It's only 6 games, but that ain't nothing. 6 games, undefeated, and if you're doing a power ranking just 2 weeks into the season, you'd be hard-pressed to argue against the Habs being number one. They look really good right now. We'll see how we feel about things next we check in on next week's edition of the Montreal Bias. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach Vanoss. Remember to also follow at the Montreal Bias and at Rabbit Habs. Like the new Facebook page as well. And between now and then, enjoy yourselves. Thanks for listening.